You'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament. The prophet Jeremiah, chapter 22, and reading verse 29. The book of the prophet Jeremiah, after the book of Isaiah, and just before Lamentations. Prophet Jeremiah chapter 22 and reading from verse 29, these words: O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And our subject this morning is the Lord's message to the whole earth. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Well, what a tremendous verse for us to consider this morning. Imagine how different this world would be, this earth would be, if these words were hearkened to, if this verse was truly embraced by the whole world. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. If all the people of this world would just turn to God, turn to his word, hear it. We have so many people who are so willing to hear anything else except the word of the Lord. They want to hear what politicians have to say. We have in this country, in particular, many TV channels, and they're all devoted to talk, opinions. What does one person think about this? What does another person think about that? You have talk radio, 24-hour. People just giving their opinions, and so many people tune in. I want to hear what this person says about this particular issue. Or what will one person say? What will this great politician say about what's happened recently? But well, if people would just come and hear the word of the Lord, then they would begin to make sense of what's actually going on in this earth. And not just make sense, they would see the solution to the problem. There are so many people in this world speaking, 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 politicians, everybody else, but there are no solutions, no answers to anything. This world is just increasing confusion, turmoil, violence, sorrow. But if they would only turn to the word of God, oh, earth, 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 even from the outset, can you not hear the Lord saying to you, earth, be not foolish? If you would just come and turn, come into the church, hear the word of the Lord, open up the word of God, do you not see that everything will be made clearer to you? Everything will be made more simple. You will see yourself as you truly are. You will see the world as it truly is. Oh, earth, 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 why are you looking everywhere except the word of God? What a tremendous verse this is for us to consider. The Lord God, well, it's the prophet Jeremiah saying this, but he is inspired by the Lord God. Earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And well, just to put this in context, as is appropriate to do, the prophet Jeremiah lived, 626 BC was his call to ministry. He was a prophet, and he prophesied until the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC, when the kingdom of Judah fell to the Babylonians. And his prophecy, unfortunately, was one of judgment upon the people of Judah. Yes, even Judah, even God's chosen people, had rebelled against him, had worshipped false idols, their kings had led them astray. And particularly in this chapter, we hear about the kings, the evil kings, who do not follow the God of the people. They follow the gods of everybody else, gods of their own makings, but they don't follow the one true God. And in verse 30, well, just to look at this briefly, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless. He's speaking about a king, King Jeconiah, or Jeconiah, as some pronounce it. Write ye this man childless, this king, he'll be childless, as it were. He would actually have children, but none of his children would inherit the throne. None of his children would have what they were meant to inherit. So for him, it's as good as childless. His children would be taken into captivity by the Babylonians. They would not be kings. They would not follow in his privileged footsteps. So it's as good as him being childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. His line, his royal line, will be cut off. So this was judgment upon the kings of Judah and this one king in particular. But, well, I don't want to spend too long on the context. Earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. This is much more interesting for us this morning. Earth, earth, earth. Well, you know, there are actually three earths in the Bible spoken of. There are three earths, three worlds, if you like to put it that way. The first earth was created by God. In the book of Genesis, we read that. The first chapters of Genesis, we read of the first earth. Now, the first earth, the first world, was not like this world. The first earth, that was created by God to be perfect, to be flawless. There would be no death in that world, the world that God created initially. No death, no sin, no sorrow. Everything was perfect. Even the animals lived together in harmony. There was no death, even in the animal kingdom. Everything was life. Everything pertained to life in that first world. And that was the world that was meant for us, for Adam. Adam was made to live in that world. That was God's design, the first earth. And Adam, well, we know this. He was made to live upright. He was made with a living soul far higher than any of the animals. Adam and Eve, his wife, they had far greater capacities. They were made in the image of God, set apart as God is set apart from us. Man was set apart from all the rest of his creation to be upright with a living soul. Indeed, well, Adam and his wife were the only ones in God's creation who could appreciate God's creation, who could appreciate the wonders of it. And well, none of the animal kingdom could do that. But that was man. And the greatest thing was he had communion with God. God created this world. God created man to have communion with him, to know him and to love him, to walk with him. That was the first man. That was the first earth, if you like. But then, of course, we read that Adam fell into sin. He was only given one commandment in this earth. Not to eat from the tree of knowledge and evil, of the knowledge of good and evil. He was commanded not to eat of that tree, and yet he did. He did eat from that tree, and God had warned him, the day you eat of that tree, you will die. You will surely die. You will bring death into this world. But yet he did. He was tempted. And he willingly gave in to temptation, and he took of that tree. And the moment he did, well, then the first earth ceased. The earth was completely changed. There was a second earth that was brought in, a fallen world. And this is the world that we live in now, in this day and age, a fallen world. Death has come in because of sin, because of rebellion against God. Adam sinned. And so he has brought in death and sin, not just for himself, but for all his descendants, all his children. And well, we read even in the word of God that even the earth changed, the composition of the earth, the trees, the ground, everything about the world, the atmosphere even, everything fell. And so this is very clearly a different world to the one that Adam was born in every sense. Spiritually and physically. And this is such a sad thing. We are now living in the second earth, an earth where we are all sinners, When Adam sinned, well, his sin was descended down through all his children, and we are all born sinners, every single one of us, everyone, every man. It's not just the Jews. This judgment here in Jeremiah, well, of course, is for the Jewish people. But the scripture teaches that all of us are sinners. We are just like the Jews. There's no difference. It's not that the Jews are more evil than we are. We are just like the Jewish people. And that was how the Jews were meant to be portrayed in the Bible. Just a representative of all of us. The way the Jews responded to God is exactly the same way that we would respond to God. In the same way that the Jews rejected him, God had given them so many privileges and they still rejected him. But it's the same way we respond to God. God gives us so many privileges. Our life, our health, our breath. Created in the image of God, living souls. And yet we still reject him. We don't have to be Jews. If we are human, if we are men, well then we all reject him. And this is why we need to share the gospel with everybody. Everyone from every nation. Some people have a problem with this. They don't like Christians sharing the message. They say to us, and I've heard this said to me before, you know, why do you go and share the Christian message with other people? You know, just leave them alone. If they're from a certain country, they're born into another religion. They're Buddhist, so just leave them alone. Or if they're born into an Islamic country, they're Muslim. So leave them alone. They have their religion. It's religion by ethnicity, if you like. But the Bible says we are all equal in the sight of God. We are all sinners, every single one. You want equality in this world? Equality across all races? Well, then you look to the Word of God. This gives us equality. It says we are all sinners in the sight of God. It's not one country is higher and the other one is a bit lower. That's segregation. That's prejudice, if you read it like that. But the true word of God is equality. Every single tribe, tongue, and nation, sinners in the sight of God. So we have to tell every single tribe, tongue, and nation about the way of salvation, about the way to God. We have to do that. And so this is why we evangelize to everybody. Oh, if only people would accept this and acknowledge this. We often speak about how we can become a multicultural society. How can we lay aside all our differences, all our baggage from other countries, other cultures? Well, if you only come to the Lord and you acknowledge that every one of us is a sinner in the sight of God, that removes all our differences. The greatest examples of multiculturalism that I've ever seen is in a Bible-believing church where everybody from no matter what culture has put aside their differences, they humble themselves before the Lord. There is no one group greater than another. You want to see multiculturalism in action? You go to a Bible-believing church and you see everyone humbling themselves before God, equal in the sight of God. And that is very important. We have to tell everyone about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all sinners. But well, I've forgotten about the third earth. We've had the first earth, the perfect created world of Adam. We've had the second earth, this world that we live in. There is a third earth that is coming. That's what the scriptures teach us of. A third earth, well actually it's called a new heaven and a new earth. When Christ will come, the Lord Jesus Christ will come, God himself will put an end to this present world and a new world will come in, a world that will last forever, a world that will know no end. And it will be a new heaven and a new earth. It's like earth and heaven are joined together. Earth and heaven are no longer separate like we are now, but the Bible says they will be melded somehow in one, in a glorious, wonderful way. Earth and heaven together. And well, there will be no sin there. There will be no death. There will only be peace and joy, but it will only be for a select group of people. It will only be for those who, as this verse exclaims, have heard the word of the Lord. Only for those who have heard the word and responded in the right way. That third earth is only for them who have hearkened to the message of the gospel, understood what the gospel is all about, repented, had faith, and know that all their sins are forgiven. The forgiveness of sins. That is what this third earth will be for. And while we think of this message, hear the word of the Lord, the forgiveness of sin, the salvation of God. God's word, well, it's judgment in Jeremiah's time, but it's not just judgment. It is salvation. Some people just hear the judgment part. Oh, God is cruel. God has his law, and if we can't keep the law, he's going to send us all to hell. That's all they hear. But you have to hear the word of all the word of the Lord, not just some parts of the word of the Lord, all the word of the Lord. Yes, there is a law. Yes, we have fallen. Yes, we are sinners. But there is salvation. Hear all the word of the Lord. There is forgiveness of sin. If you come to him, if you respond in the right way, hear all the word, not just some of it. Hear the word of the Lord. O earth, earth, earth. Three times he repeats it. Well, there's also further significance in that number three. Of course there is. God is three in one. He is one God, but three persons within the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we could speak for many hours on this subject. But they are three persons, but they are one. It's very mysterious to us. God the Father. When God the Father does something, please don't think that it's just God the Father doing something. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are involved at the same time. They never do anything independently. They agree. They are in perfect agreement. It's mysterious to us. When God the Son does something, don't think it's just God the Son doing something. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, also involved perfectly. They are one, three persons, but one. And well, God is, he's far above us. Some people think they don't want to believe in the Trinity because they can't understand it in themselves. They think, well, we're not like that. We're not three in one. I don't understand these things at all. But well, it's a very bad mistake to think that just because God is not how you think he is, or just because God is not exactly like us, that you can't accept him as he truly is. God is not like us. We are made in his image, but God is far above us in his essence, in his divinity. God is three in one, and he can be, even if we cannot be. So well, that's very pertinent for us this morning. But you know that the three persons of the Godhead are very intimately involved in our salvation. Very intimately involved. You have God the Father. God the Father, first of all, he looks down on this world of sin, on all of us as sinners, and he knows that none of us can be saved in our natural state. We are sinners. He is holy. We cannot come together just like that. We are sinners. He is holy. And so, well, he thinks of this and he is grieved. And not only is he holy, but he is just. He is a God of justice. So he cannot just let sin go unpunished. He sees all the sins of this world. And because he is a just God, he must punish sin. So he is holy. We cannot draw near to him as we are. But he is just also. He has to punish sin. So what is he to do? Are we all to be lost? No. God is also a God of love and mercy and compassion. And so he decides to send a way of salvation, a way of hope whereby we can be saved. Saved from condemnation, saved from judgment, saved from the punishment of our sin, he sends his Son, the second person of the triune Godhead. So God the Father and now God the Son. And God the Son, well, in perfect agreement with the Father, it is almost as though he says to the Father, Lord, send me. Send me, I will be a savior for them. For all those who are lost for the human race, I will go, I will live a life of perfect righteousness, a life that obeys the law, so that they may earn their way to heaven, so that my righteousness will be imputed to them, and they may be accepted by thee. But I will also go to the cross. I will take upon myself the punishment for their sin. Lord, punish me instead of them. And all those who put their faith in me, they will be forgiven. They will be saved. God the Father, God the Son, and of course, that is what he did. He came down and he suffered and died for us, that we may be forgiven all our sin, our condemnation laid upon him. And he is our Savior. If we only trust in him and understand what he has done, then we are saved. God the Father, God the Son. Well, what does God the Holy Spirit do? The third person of the triune Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. Well, we know when Christ died, he ascended up on high, but he sent down to the apostles, and we read this in Acts chapter 2, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit always was in the world. King David speaks of having the Holy Spirit. He pleads not to have the Spirit removed from him in Psalm 51. But in a very new and living way, the Holy Spirit descends upon the New Testament church. And what does the Spirit do? Some people are very confused about the Spirit. Some people think the foremost purpose of the Holy Spirit is to give us experiences, miraculous experiences, or visions, or dreams, or healings. Is that the foremost purpose of the Holy Spirit? Not according to the Word of God. The foremost purpose of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Christ, to point to him. So when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we understand who Christ is. Who Christ is. What he has done. Before, we don't know what Christ has done. Before, you can come into a place of worship. You can hear the word of the Lord, but it won't make any sense to you. You think, oh, well, I've heard a message. Don't know what it means. It's not really very important to me. So I'll just leave and live my life. But the Holy Spirit, when it works in you, you hear the word of the Lord, you hear about judgment, and you think, well, that means me. That means I'm heading for judgment. I will have to stand before God. I will have to give an account of my life. That means me. Do I have faith in the Lord Jesus? He's the only way that I may be forgiven all my sin. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not visions. It's not ecstasies. It's when you finally realize that I need Christ. I need his forgiveness. I need his salvation. And well, the Holy Spirit does a most miraculous work. It turns people who before hated God, loved the world, loved themselves. It turns people into those who love God and do everything for him and want to tell everybody about him. That's the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. It's not some dream you've had. It's a real living change. And everybody around you, you can ask Christians, when they were saved, everybody around them saw that tremendous change, saw how they changed from people who hated God to people who loved God, and they were amazed. That's the greatest work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, intimately involved in your salvation. Earth, earth, earth. It's like every member of the Godhead is crying out to you. Well, what a cry to ignore. How can we ignore it? Earth, 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 Hear the word of the Lord. This is a repeated call. It's a repeated call. Earth, 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 it's repeated. Every Sunday morning, I'm not sure if all of you are aware of this, this meeting is an evangelistic message. Evangelistic. It's not really for believers. It's for those who are maybe unbelievers. And we know that there are some unbelievers in our midst. Unbelievers who have never truly known, never known the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They've never heard the word of the Lord. They don't know if they have their sins forgiven. This is what this message every Lord's Day morning is for. And we repeat it. Why do we repeat it? Because it's repeated so often in the word of God. Earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. It's repeated so that when you stand before God, there'll be no excuse for you. You won't be able to say, oh, I never heard the gospel. The pastor in our church, he never preached the gospel. Oh, yes, he did. I will have to give account for this. And I will be able to say, I preach the gospel every Lord's Day morning to this person or to that person. I preached it every Lord's Day morning. And so there is no excuse. The day of judgment will come. You know, whenever there's a great disaster or some great natural catastrophe, it could be a tsunami, could be a hurricane. I remember there was a hurricane or a great storm in this country in the late 80s, and there was so much devastation and disaster and lives lost. And what did all the papers say the next day or in the days following? Well, they were all pretty universal on this. Why weren't we warned? Why weren't we warned? And there are any number of disasters that we can mention. The tsunami, why weren't we warned? Why didn't anyone tell us that there was this great disaster coming? Well, you won't be able to say that about the judgment of God. You were warned. You were warned repeatedly. And you just ignored it. You just thought, oh, just for another day. Not today. You were warned. And so this is a repeated call. And well, as we draw to conclusion, just one final point. Just two more minutes and I'm through. There are three lives in any Christian. We've spoken about the number three at great length this morning. But there are three parts to every Christian believer. Three lives, if you like. There's the life when you were an unbeliever, when you did not know God. There's the life when you are saved, when you do know God, you know the forgiveness of all your sin. And there is that glorious life to come, that eternal, everlasting life, when Christ shall come and bring his people to himself. Three lives to every Christian believer. And if you are a Christian, you will be sure that you have those three lives. Are you sure? Are you sure that once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord? That there was a definite change, a definite conversion experience? And are you sure that that third life that is coming, will surely come, is most certainly yours because you trust in Christ, in his blood alone, not in anything you've done, but that Christ has come and suffered and died for your sin? Are you sure? Because he is the foundation of your faith, of your salvation. Three lives to every Christian. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank thee for this message, this repeated message, this message from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, may we know that message in our hearts. May it have great power to save in each and every one of us. Lord, may we know the forgiveness of our sin. May we know the assurance of salvation and that blessed assurance of glory to come. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.